Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Everybody is welcome here on Janae Angola Jr., I guess ghosts and booze, too. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwemeke, Mike Golick Jr., holding it down here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And before I get to our reads here, Junior, I just want to acknowledge that we're matching. We woke up and we chose to, you know, to imitate each other.
It is unbelievable now the amount of time, because we just talked about this. We celebrated our show's six-month anniversary the other day. And so we haven't been doing this a long time yet. We're growing into it, though. We're having a great time. And we have already, like, outfit melded, I think, three or four times during this process between glasses and color matching. So go us.
We look like a unit. Go us. Now, I'm so excited because guess what, Junior? My starting five is back in about 10 minutes. I will break down, you know, NBA All-Star edition of Starting Five. I'm so excited. And also stay with us because later on this hour, we'll get to talking about goats on boats. Tom Brady talking about that moment where I guess it went viral and in the best ways, making him super relatable as he talked to James Gordon not too long ago. But today, Junior, today, Junior, is all about my city, Houston, Texas. Because James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets return for the first time to Houston. The game's at 7:30 tonight on ESPN. And the question of the day has been, and I want everyone to hit us up on the hotline right now. Again, I called out the area codes 281-713-832. Y'all should be blinging this thing up right now, lighting it up. The question is, what is James Harden's legacy in Houston? And also, if you're one of the 4,500 in the stands tonight, would you cheer or would you boo? 28. Oh my gosh, I was going to give out my personal number. Look what you did to me.
There we go. You almost did it now. It is contagious around here. This is the second time this has almost happened. Unbelievable.
888-729-3776. Again, call us and tell us, would you cheer or would you boo for James Harden if you were in the stands? 888-SAY-ESPN. And the number I was going to give out was 281-330-8004. Okay, that's not my number. That's Mike. That's who?
If we have to explain to people that that's Mike Jones, then clearly we've got a younger demographic than I could have imagined right now. That Janae, would you say that, like, anyone over the age of 25, yeah, I should be able to walk up to them and say 281-330-8004, and they should be able to finish the
sentence? Oh, gosh. Oh, more melanin. Please. Why'd you say foe? You're supposed to say foe. It's okay, but I'm going to ask you the question in honor. You want to defend yourself.
It sounds weird if I say foe. Like, I'm not supposed to be the guy that says foe.
No, but, like, when you say the number like that, 281-330-8004, like, that's what you're supposed to do. Not go 8004. Like,
that's
what
the number, though.
It is. Junior, would you cheer? Or would you boo if you're one of those fans in the stands for James Harden tonight?
I would cheer, Janae. Ultimately, my stance on this stuff is always in these spots. A player coming back, we honestly have players in all professional leagues that are terrible human beings for real reasons, in real life, for things that they have done off the court and off the field, that we still cheer in instances when they do well for our team. And so if this guy's worst transgression is he decided he wanted to play for a better basketball team with guys that he knew, I feel like that's not the kind of thing on the scale that's going to register enough for me to boo.
Agreed. Janae Angola Jr. here. And, you know, you mentioned the age of 25. And shout out to one of the boss ladies out there that is in Houston covering the game, Malika Andrews, because she spoke one-on-one with James Harden. And she asked him what reaction is he hoping for. And this was his answer.
I hope I'll receive love. The love and the appreciation that I've given to that city and I still give to that city. I'm hoping that the favor can be returned.
The background music in that sounds like Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, which sounds a lot more like what is playing in the hearts and minds of folks in Houston right now, because this is the tough part of it and why I kind of empathize with the people that might boo in this situation is they stink. You didn't just have your star player leave you for greener pastures in a way that at the time we all talked about was not the best look, but he did it and now he's getting everything he wanted and you stink and you have to watch that side by side and imagine it's only going to get worse, Janae.
Junior, I have a very personal question for you, but it's not like, do you want kids? It's not that level. It's just more so about relationships, because I equated this on SportsCenter and The Jump, that this is like if you saw an ex, you had a breakup, someone that you've been in a long-term relationship with, you broke up. And you see them thriving. Like, have you been through that type of experience?
I have. And listen, in that instance, if I am secure in myself, I want to see. And how we left on those terms, then yes, more often than not, I want to see that other person succeed, because we may have made that choice at the same time if it was mutual, if it was something. But regardless, I don't want to sit around spending my time holding grudges. So, yes, I would like to see that person succeed. Maybe not as much as James Harden is right now.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a lot.
Exactly. I think for Houston, we're torn right now. And we have so many problems and fires to put out, whether it's the Houston Texans and the people departing our team and now the Houston Rockets. But, you know, Junior, I wanted to bring up the parallels between Houston because I see this through the lens of J.J. Watt and also James Harden. These guys both came to Houston and made huge, you know, marks on their franchises, on their teams. J.J. Watt with the Houston Texans for 10 years. James Harden with the Houston Rockets for 9 years. Both guys were, you know, faced with a decision. All right, am I going to stay here and maybe never win a championship? How do I want my final few years as I'm, you know, going through my prime to sort of shake out? What did we see with JJ? Amicably get a release from the Texans, and now his pursuit of looking in the mirror and saying, do I want a championship? Am I going to go to a Green Bay Packers? Am I going to go to a Cleveland Browns? Am I going to go tag team with my brother and the Steelers? He said, you know what? I want this money. And I want this happiness, and I want this sunshine. $31 million, 23 guaranteed, that was his version of happiness, and that's cool. That's a decision that athletes have to make. On the other side, obviously a lot of guaranteed money in James Harden's pockets with the way the NBA is set up, but he's faced with a similar decision on a similar timeline. I've given my blood, sweat, and tears to this organization. Do I want to be a part of another rebuild? And guess what? He said, you know what? I want to go to a contender. And now he's with Brooklyn. I think it's fascinating to see how these two guys are kind of tied based on their timelines and the city and how they made choices that dictated their own happiness, whether it is pursuing a championship, which looks like he's off to a good start as James Harden, or J.J. Watt just, you know, being able to go get paid and play the game he loves.
Chin Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking about James Harden's return to Houston. I think that's actually fascinating to consider. Because in one way, if I'm a competitor, I can almost stomach more the idea that you looked and said, there's a ceiling on what we can do winning-wise. I want to go win a championship versus what J.J. Watt did in theory in that spot, saying, I'd just take the money to not be with you anymore. It doesn't have to be that great an upgrade. It just has to be not you. And that says a lot more, I think, about the state of the Texans, because that's the difference to me, Chiné. The Texans have a clear villain. Jack Easterby in that front office and what it's been made out to be, the things that we've heard there, that seems like the clear enemy right now for people that are fans of that franchise. And so I think whether it's J.J. Watt or I think about Deshaun Watson, who if he gets his way and gets out of here, I think is going to get cheered when he comes back. And I think he accomplished a lot less comparatively and hardware-wise for the Houston Texans than someone like James Harden did while wearing a Rockets uniform. But perception is always an interesting thing. And I think James Harden's perspective as a guy who's got his jersey retired in a very different arena, who I don't know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, Chiné. James Harden, the word association has never been first guy in, last guy out, grinder in that one, big team leader. Like, I don't know if we've ever heard that, and some of the behind-the-scenes reporting that we've heard would indicate a sort of lax look at this. And I think when you're trying to rationalize in the fan, if you look at J.J. Watt, who is almost a caricature of that, and Deshaun Watson, whose likability is off the charts, those things kind of factor into how we view your quest to get out of those spots.
And that's the crazy part of the human element, Junior, because you have different personalities. All of them have given back to the community when it comes to Houston. But James Harden just sort of is living his best life, the rock star lifestyle. But guess what? His production on the floor has not suffered, whether, you know, when it comes to him choosing to be himself, whether that is not necessarily showing up on time for training camp or just playing the game his way. Guess what? They've all made their marks and have been wildly productive for the city of Houston. And that's why as fans, I feel like we have to sometimes take a step back. It's okay to boo. That's part of the sports. Guess what? We got thick skin. We're built for it. Your girl goes through it all the time. It's okay to boo. But when we have real conversations about what these athletes have done, don't let like the personal style or perception sort of muddle up what that person has actually accomplished, because we have criticized James Harden's game a lot, but the good completely outweighs the bad, and I think that's Houston. That's why I still think Houston is probably going to cheer, but who knows what's going to happen tonight.
It's going to be very exciting to see on the court what happens. We think is a little more of a foregone conclusion based on where these teams are. But
it's about to be the upset of the year if the Houston Rockets win.
I'm not going to bet on that one right now. I'm not even going to read you the odds because they can't be very good
now. Not good at all.
No. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how Houston receives James Harden as he comes back home right now as the NBA gets ready to head into its All-Star break and gets ready to celebrate the sport. And so coming up next, in honor of the NBA All-Star weekend coming up, we're going to get you Chiné's starting five going on here on ESPN Radio. We have got all the bells and whistles. We are ready to properly celebrate the NBA's big weekend without partying like they're probably going to do in Atlanta next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Every day here on Janae and Golic Jr., I feel like we are living our best lives. The NBA All-Star Day, not a weekend this year, is going to be a lot of events crammed into one viewing experience. But this year, it will also be played with a purpose. In about 10 minutes, we will share how the stars are going to be using their platforms on this grand stage, get to more conversations about the festivities. But right now, let's stay there. Let's get to the events. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. Are you ready, Junior?
Yes, I am ready. It is time. I believe this is our third installment of Janae's Starting Five that we've done on this show, the five things, and we give you full creative liberty on this one. So what have we gone with this week for Janae's Starting Five?
Yes, so we have started this segment because I am an NBA analyst here at ESPN, and we have all the bells and whistles this week. This week's version of my Starting Five, the five things you need to know when it comes to the NBA, is, of course, NBA All-Star Edition. Let's go, Cliff.
We got to get you the information you need about the NBA.
Sorry, I was all the way deep
into my bag.
Janae, thankfully, is the one that's going to give you accurate information.
These teams are hot. Heat is on the stove hot.
We want to make sure you know all of the important things going on, and we do that by giving you
Janae's Starting Five.
All right, here we go. Number five. Whoa, that was lit.
How about Jerry in the kitchen cooking it up like usual? Did he chop and screw you on that one?
Was
that
chopped and screwed? He must have heard we're talking about Houston. Chopped and screw, big baby. And you know where we start. Let's go, Cliff.
Number five.
The biggest takeaway this weekend when it comes to NBA All-Stars, as we celebrate the festivities, how are the athletes going to use their platforms for power and change, knowing that we're dealing with a lot of circumstances this year? We got a hint from LeBron James because the groups will use this upcoming All-Star game, which will take place on Sunday, to bring awareness to what legislators are trying to do when it comes to elections in Georgia, considering that the game is in Atlanta. LeBron James leads a coalition, More Than a Vote, I'm a part of it, and they announced that they're teaming up with the state chapter of the NAACP, the NBA, and NBAPA, the Players Association, to draw attention to efforts in Georgia to reduce voting rights, which is basically, you know, this group, More Than a Vote, is trying to fight voter suppression. And that's what the message I think we're going to hear. Junior, what do you think about these athletes continuing to use a platform, but this time on this stage?
Yeah, I think it's been impressive. We've talked about the conflict for a lot of players, even going and performing and playing in this All-Star game. But understanding, all right, if we're going to have to be here, we're going to make the most of it in a way that we've already deemed important is the smartest use of time, even if it's not time you necessarily agreed with in the beginning.
Exactly, and that is the big takeaway. Now let's go to the events. Number four.
Number four.
Here we go. For the three-point contest, the contestants are Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Steph Curry, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. And here on Janae's Starting Five, I'm going to give you guys predictions. I never do this, but I'm leaning all the way into this. I think that Steph Curry or Devin Booker will win the three-point contest just because y'all saw that video of Steph making 50-11 threes from the corner spot in the middle of practice when people said he wasn't good. This has been one large revenge tour for Steph Curry. And then when we're also thinking about Devin Booker, if there's one person that might walk into the All-Star game, you know, a little bit more motivated than others, especially now dealing after he got ejected and had to be a replacement player, it might be Devin Booker. I think that it comes down to these two, but maybe Steph Curry. We saw his sensational shooting just on a day when he just wanted to wake up and be great. Imagine what he's going to do in Atlanta for All-Star Junior.
Hold up. You said you were going to go out here and make a prediction, and then you gave me two guys. I need one name.
I just said Steph.
Okay.
I just said Steph. It's going to be Steph.
Wow. I mean, wow.
I just wanted to make sure.
Steph Curry with the shot, boy. Now to number three.
Number three.
All right, number three, we're going to go to the skills contest, and we've got The Rock, Robert Covington, shout out to Cliff, Luka Doncic, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, Domantas Sabonis, and Nikola Vucevic, which, by the way, this is a show that loves the bigs. Big boys need love, too. Domantas Sabonis and Nikola Vucevic, I think it's going to be more comedy, honestly, seeing those two in there. Domantas may be an edge out on Nikola, even though Nikola can hit a three. But I'm going to take Luka Doncic in the skills contest because this is a way for him to enter the MVP kind of conversation chat. People are sleeping on the Dallas Mavericks largely because they're out of the playoffs, which was surprising this year. But they dealt with a lot of COVID situation. They're finally getting healthy. Kristaps Porzingis is back. And people are sleeping on the fact that Luka Doncic, his skill set is crazy. Averaging a triple-double, y'all, 28, 8, and 9. So I'm taking Luka Doncic in the skills contest, even though I'd love to see a big boy sort of show people that we can do it too, Junior.
Chennai, I think as we look towards what comes on the other side of this, I think the Mavericks have a chance to be the most interesting team post All-Star break. And what we watch, as you mentioned, getting clear of some of those disruptions that we've seen affect a lot of teams in a lot of different sports and leagues, to now see if they can capitalize on that, if they can get their parts all healthy, because everyone assumed after last year this was Luka's destiny, a playoff run with this Mavs team.
Excellent point. Chennai Ngola Jr. here. We're having fun on ESPN Radio. I'm giving you my starting five, NBA All-Star Edition, and our favorite number.
Number 2.
Let's get to the slam dunk contest. The participants are Anfernee Simons, Cassius Stanley, and Obi Toppin. And I'm going to hurt my producer, Shannon, Knicks fans' feelings here. Oof. Because I did say I wanted him to win Rookie of the Year, but we knew based on the shots, it's going to go to LaMelo. So I'm going to eliminate him. I really like Cassius Stanley for the slam dunk contest, because the best thing about the slam dunk, everyone's like, put Zion in there. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. Maybe because I'm privileged and was able to see Zion dunk in a slam dunk contest in high school a couple years ago.
Wow.
But I'm taking Cassius Stanley. Cassius Stanley, Zion's teammate back at Duke, who, mind you, when he was at Duke, he had a 44-inch vertical, still there right now, which was better than Zion's when they were teammates there. Last year's winner was Derrick Jones Jr., and I love the slam dunk contest because these names people may not be familiar with, but that's the best thing. People make names through the slam dunk contest. My favorite one was Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine. Victor Oladipo has been in the mix. Those guys sort of made themselves household names, and I look for the opportunity for one of these young guys to do the same.
Young and hungry is always the way, especially now. I would like my dunk contest, because we know we're not going to get any of the primetime guys to go out there and risk it. But port of parliamentary procedure, when you bring up his vertical, is this a normal vertical of 44 inches, or is this this weird basketball vertical where people get a drop step and get to cheat?
We never cheat, just like we never cheat on height. They list me at 6'5". Number one!
Number one.
The number one takeaway when it comes to NBA All-Star, who is going to be MVP? And I feel like it's super ironic because it comes on the day where James Harden is returning to Houston. And I kind of like the idea that he walks into the All-Star game, and while he's making this push for LeBron James for the actual MVP, he goes and shoots a shot and gets the MVP of the All-Star game. I think that this is probably one of the most interesting scripts. He wins at home in Houston, gets that, you know, nice little tribute, walks to the All-Star game on Team Kevin Durant, likely Kyrie Irving as his teammate, goes, and we all know bigs don't really win because they don't get the ball in All-Star games. You got to beg for it, or you got to shoot your own threes. I think it's going to be a guard. James Harden, we know he can shoot his shot whenever he wants. He's explosive, and people won't be playing defense until the last few minutes. So I think he racks it up, or maybe even if he gets a triple-double, the narrative will already be there, because guess what? We've already been talking about this James Harden train. Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga. That can only help him also in the All-Star game, Junior.
Janae, I'm so proud of you. Seeing the light in this spot and understanding this is the first step towards the big MVP, starting with the All-Star Game MVP, couldn't agree more with you there. This is, in your own way, hopping on the James Harden MVP train. Proud of you. Really
it's
proud.
Okay. It makes sense. So for those who are wondering our predictions again, I think it's going to be Steph Curry winning the threes contest, skill contest, Luka Doncic. Then we're going to go to Cassius Stanley for the dunk contest and All-Star Game MVP, James Harden. You heard it here. Chennai's starting five, NBA All-Star Edition.
Lock it in as we get ready for this weekend.
I'm going to go 0-for-5 watch. Usually it's always people you know what? Never pick.
Chennai, that's the best part about predictions in this job, is if we get it right, we bring them back up. And if not, we pretend like this never happened and we move on to next week's Chennai's starting five. And we keep it moving on here. This is how you take. Now, speaking of takes, First Take, Her Take, hosted by our own Shanae Agumake, Charlie Arnold, and Kimberly Martin, a podcast with the biggest debates in sports and stories and delving into their lives, pop culture, all those great things. New episodes every Wednesday, so today, going to drop wherever you get your podcasts. By the way, we're allowed to say this now. Monday, we have got the special First Take, Her Take takeover going on this show.
Breaking news! Play it! Play it! Breaking news!
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, that one.
Hey, ladies! We in the building. Myself, Charlie Arnold, and Kimberly A. Martin on Monday will be taking over Chennai Ngola Jr. Move out, Junior! And Junior, hopefully, will be doing a different job on the show.
Yes, you know what? Listen, I know it's going to be a great hour. I think we're going to have all you guys in here. I think it'd be a great idea for the entire show to be First Take, Her Take. I think we'd benefit a lot from this, and so I'm going to keep pushing and try and make that happen, Chennai.
Yeah, good luck with that.
it's worth the shot. Great podcast, though. Check it out. And we are very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have Kimberly on here all the time. We haven't had a chance to get Charlie on here as much yet. So excited to get her in here to hear what everyone gets to if they go and download the podcast now. Going to be a ton of fun. Monday, I think 5 o'clock Eastern is where we're shooting for that. The first take, her take, take over. That's a lot of takes. Going to be very excited.
Keep it spicy.
Always, always spicy. Unless you're Tom Brady. Coming up next, though, how many does it take for Tom Brady to want to look and finally hang it up? We'll tell you who asked the all-important question this time, and we'll do it next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Time to go from one great to another. And no, Junior, I'm not talking about James Harden this time. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down this evening. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, we just talked about the great, I'm referring to LeBron James and his More Than a Vote group, that coalition using the platform of NBA All-Star to fight for voting rights. It's all about his legacy when it comes to those things. And it's perfect segue to this next conversation, because when it comes to legacy for Tom Brady, the great, he made an appearance on James Corden, Junior's favorite show, on The Late Late Show. And despite being on top of the world, fresh off of another Super Bowl win, I mean, it's the seventh Super Bowl win that he has. It should be like seventh heaven or something like that. He's still dealing with a lot of pressure. And I know it's crazy. I mean, what more does Tom Brady have to prove? But normally as athletes, right, like you block out the noise. But not this time. This question came from a very reputable source.
All of a sudden, I see my oldest son run over to me. Dad, you know, and I gave him a big hug. I saw my, you know, my two little ones. And all of a sudden, I saw my wife and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, what more do you have to prove?
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick. Right. So I was, I think I moved on to something else pretty quickly.
And Chinee, I enjoy this like actually funny Tom Brady that we're getting now. Yes. Out of New England, which is really weird considering we just saw him drunk on a boat too. So all these things are new for us here. This problem isn't new though. And I say problem in a very loose sense, but we have heard his wife Giselle, who everyone knows, the supermodel extraordinaire, talking very openly and very publicly about pleading with his teammates at certain times, trying to get the message to other people to see if she can get and coax Tom to hang it up in this spot. And now staring down, talking about playing until he's 45 with no end in sight, that seems even less and less likely, which is interesting to consider because, again, this criticism is coming from his wife and the mother of his children.
Yeah, that hits different when you hear it from your wife. But, you know, I guess this is more a testament to what makes Tom Brady great. And when my sister, and I'm going to just use this anecdote, this personal anecdote, when my sister was on the year of 2016, she was MVP of the WNBA that year, and they were fighting for a championship, and they just dealt a tough loss in the WNBA finals. The owner, you know, notably for the LA Sparks, is Magic Johnson, all-time Laker great, right? And he came in and had this amazing pointed conversation that all the Sparks point to and say, hey, this is what got us through that tough time mentally so that we can go out there and win the title. And she basically told me that conversation was, when it comes to pursuing a championship, you have to be all consumed in it. Like, that's what you have to eat, sleep, and breathe. And that's exactly what Tom Brady really has done. And I know it's beautiful that we've seen his family grow up right before our eyes. But at the same time, a big part of him is eat, sleep, and breathing the game. And I think the biggest question is, like, if you win a Super Bowl at age 43, I mean, obviously the natural thing is, okay, like you've got seven, you can leave while you're on top. But if you've been eating, sleeping, and breathing, and this is a huge part of your identity, what makes you think we can't run it back next year? Because you're at this superhuman level of success when it's relative to anybody else, not just in football, but in the overall landscape. And so that will be a humongous decision for Tom Brady to wrap his mind around. But he wasn't ready for that, because the first thing we wanted to know on the stage after they won at home in Tampa, the first team to win their own Super Bowl at home, was, I'm coming back. So it seems like he sort of knew the answer to that regardless of how the game went out.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And with Tom Brady, he is always going to strike me as a guy who is kind of that old, for anyone that watched the movie 300 talking about the Spartans, is come back with your shield or on it.
Sparta.
Tom Brady seems like a guy who you're going to have to take him off on his shield here, Chinee, because we've always looked for the clean exit for Tom Brady. We've all on here predicted at various times his decline, his demise, all these different things, and it never seems to come. And I think part of that is twofold. Certainly, he's been great in those spots, but also it's a weird thing to try and cap desire for these winning machines, and Tom Brady is a winning machine. He is wired like these all-time greats who only know one thing, and to see, I'm sure for Tom, we all joke and love when he shows up on Peyton's Places or talks to Peyton Manning or these guys, but you're looking around and he's seeing all his peers, and I'm sure talking to all his peers, having to listen to them talk about what they miss about the game, the parts of it, how different life is when you're not chasing the ultimate high of success in this team arena. And you know this because you're living it right now, Chinee. There's just, even coming here, even enjoying doing the job with us as much as I'm sure that you do here, it's just not the same as attacking a goal together with a team in something like sports.
And look at Drew Brees, who's had a Super Bowl and like now is still struggling to find a way to, you know, separate, if that's even what he so chooses, especially when they're having to like restructure the deal. But you're right. It's hard to replicate what you experience on the field, on the court, in your arena with the life after. But at some point, your family's going to show up and be like, hey, it is time. And I think Giselle has been making her case for a couple years now.
Well, and I think that's always the difficult and interesting thing to consider here. That's the one thing that always jarred me, Chinee, about when I got to, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, where I went to training camp as a rookie. And you're used to being in training camp and it's you and the guys and you're in college and you're all together. And we'd be in the locker room in the middle of 2 days watching Maury Povich on all the screens inside the locker room. And then you get to the NFL and you see in professional sports, guys, when we get done with practice, being met by their kids, young kids and wives, families showing up in this spot. And you realize this is a different ballgame altogether, and trying to balance all of those games. Forget TB12 and all those things, but the real lives that are your charge. And all I'm sure you heard in that was, we would all get together and watch Maury Povich. Yes, it is true.
Junior, you are not the father.
31 years strong right now. And knock on wood, let's hope. I mean, no chance of breaking that streak during quarantine, can tell you that much.
I can't.
It's an amazing team bonding experience to put that on every TV in a locker room and watch the elaborate celebrations. I would imagine that more NFL celebrations are born from watching the celebrations on Maury Povich after getting that news than maybe anywhere else. It's great source material.
Your quarantine has been really, really boring, huh?
No comment. Mike Golic Jr. cannot be reached for comment at this time. Gonna read a promo instead. Gonna try and put on my serious voice because
you
this
did that
is important.
To yourself. You spilled your own tea. Thank you. It's not me. Not me this time.
Every once in a while, it just leaks out right here, and mine sounds a little bit more tragic than what we've been talking about on First Take, Her Take. But while you're watching us on ESPN Plus and watching me squirm right now under all this pressure,
he's sweating.
But I'm always sweating. I'm like I'm a reformed fat. It's what I do. I just sweat.
You're right. Keep going. Read.
When she knows she can't save me, stream Why Not Us, the new series from the executive producers Chris Paul of the Phoenix Suns and Stephen A. Smith on ESPN Plus. Why Not Us follows the NCCU basketball team and reveals what it means to be a student athlete at a historically black college and university. Only on ESPN Plus, along with our show and daily hours of sports talk, wherever you want to do that. And wherever, I mean, you go to ESPN Plus and you get it there. That is where you get it in the spot. Coming up next, though, Chinee. A vote of confidence from the most important person in someone's life. And Tom Brady may not be a quitter, but I will tell you the one thing that broke me and got me to quit one thing I was on track for. We'll do it next here on Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So Mike Golic Jr. and I first met on Woman Crush Wednesdays, not only on First and Last, but also on the morning show, and it was good. And today it gives me back the same vibes because we got the ladies in full effect. We announced today that First Take, Her Take, Takeover is happening on Monday with myself, Kimberly A. Martin, Charlie Arnold, and the girls had more fun today. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogbonmike, Mike Golic Jr. The girls, I'm talking about the amazing women. Diana Russini joined us, ESPN NFL reporter. She talked to us about Sammy and the Jets. Seems like I can keep singing that for a little bit longer. And also Jenny Dial Creech, deputy managing editor of The Athletic NBA, talked to us about Harden in the Nets. This has been my favorite shout out this whole time. If you missed any of those conversations, go check out our podcast, Janae and Golic Jr. Subscribe, rate, and review. It's been a fun one. It's been Woman Crush Wednesday as we keep that same energy, Junior.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae, in keeping that same energy, I was amazed when we were talking to Diana Rossini earlier what came up with Raiders GM Mike Mayock endorsing their quarterback Derek Carr and called him one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. He said, I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. And I tell you, every year we evaluate every position. I have no idea who might call or might not call me, so you have to do the evaluations both on your own and on every other player in the league, and you've got to stack your boards and understand what league value is around the league, and we do that. And it sounds like...
Was that on the short list for Russell Wilson? I think it was, right?
That was, yes. The Raiders were one of the teams on that list of four that Russell Wilson gave out. So pretty big vote. And we're not used to seeing that right now as we sat here and talked about Joe Douglas saying our phone lines are open if you're calling for Sam Darnold.
I know. It's pretty ironic. But I think that whole Russell Wilson situation where he put out feelers for a couple of teams, including Dak Prescott, soon we're talking about the Cowboys and what they should do. And now the Raiders are talking as well.
They are talking as well. But there was another team that was out there and might have been a subject of conversation in this. We had heard rumblings about what Minnesota might do with Kirk Cousins. Well, Mike Zimmer came out and pretty much put that to bed. He told reporters, Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. I know there's a lot of rumors floating around, but Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We felt that he played very well, probably the best he's ever played down that stretch last year. Kirk is our quarterback going forward, and I look forward to having him another year in this system. So a surprising vote of confidence there for a guy that Minnesota has dumped so much money into, an ungodly amount of money.
For sure, but it's funny that we talk about Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, guys that had probably more volatile seasons. Sorry, that was my water. All my water has me overhydrated. If you're watching ESPN Plus, I am way behind on my drinking. I think I'm still at 7 a.m. That's been my goal. But I say all of this to say it's been, and I like seeing quarterbacks getting love. I just am surprised by which teams. Broke down, you know, basically the implications after Adrian Wojnarowski.
That's why hydration is key, because we don't want to run into moments like that, Janae, where our tongues get tied.
Wow, why didn't they clip off yours? Didn't you have one like a couple days ago, but they never clip it off? Your boys. Come on, boys.
Janae, don't worry. What? We've always got this. Coming up next, though, we'll look ahead to find out what's going to happen with Thursday night football in light of some recent COVID. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter. There we go. See? We are all about equality on this show.
I love it. Yours is way worse. I love it.
Wow. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike keeping that same energy as Chinay efforts to hydrate here. And that's good, because I've got to ask you the tough question now. I saw this floating around earlier, and we talked about Tom Brady is not a man who looks like he is ready to be done yet in the NFL, even though we heard him joke with James Corden on the Late Late Show that his wife asked him, what more do you have to prove? That being said, I will tell you the thing that broke me, because I thought for a while about going into college and being a business major. Notre Dame, number one undergraduate business school in the country for a long time. And then I met one particular class, and I saw GetTonio2 on Twitter tweet out, what was the hardest class in college you took?
Ooh.
Mine was, without question, the class that broke me, Calc 2. I have never been bodied like that by a class in my life. I didn't get to see the whole time I was in college. That was my B- right there. That was me flirting on the cusp at that point in my nerddom, getting absolutely sent behind the woodshed by Calc 2.
Yeah, mine was calculus, just not Calc 2, just calculus. And I immediately took two tests and was like, pass, fail. Not going to do this.
The greatest weapon in the college arsenal.
Yes.
Oh, kids of America, if you're getting ready to go to college, just remember those two important words, pass, fail.
Amen.
Billy, Cliff, do you guys have a class that stuck out to you? Guys working on the show today. Cliff, the hardest class that you'd ever took in college.
It was this econ class in college, and it was like part of like the requirement for the major, and I was just like, oh no, I'm good. Like, once I got done that, I was like,
yo,
I'm
econ
good.
Is a different animal entirely. That is math with like way too real life of implications. Billy, what about you? You got a class that stuck out?
No, yeah, accounting was for me, bro. Accounting, I had to get a tutor and all. Like, that was not for me. That was a bad John.
That was a bad John, huh?
Tremendously bad John.
How did I do, Cliff?
A bad John.
That's a bad John.
You said bad John Wall. A bad John.
A bad John Wall is hopefully what we're not going to get tonight in Houston.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
No, I deserve no praise. I'll take it where I can get it. It's tough to come by with the very, very Philadelphia crew that we've got here on ESPN Radio. So we have got that coming up tonight. James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets heading down to Houston. That starts at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. But now you can stick around here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz coming up next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.